Hey everyone, we'll take a look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So in this remarkable passage, Jesus is preparing his disciples. He's preached the kingdom. He's demonstrated the kingdom. He's sending out the disciples. And he's just been telling them that opposition and conflict are sure to come, that they're sure to be persecuted because Jesus himself is persecuted. They're going to face opposition just like he's going to face opposition. And we might say that in some ways the gospel always advances this way. If we look in the book of Acts and if we look through much of church history, it's not as though the gospel often proceeds with wide welcome and immediate welcome. It often first finds hostility and a tepid response. And so in some senses, I think Jesus is laying out the groundwork for an understanding of how the gospel will proceed. Now here, when he gives this message about family, I think it's hard for us in the modern West, where family is actually much less important than it was in the ancient world, to appreciate the gravity of what Jesus is saying. Your own household might be divided by your response to Jesus. And it's going to be so bad that some family members might turn in other family members to be crucified by the Romans because they're followers of Jesus. But note that Jesus says his whole purpose in coming was to bring a sword. His whole purpose is to elicit a response of faithfulness to Jesus or resistance to Jesus. And based on the response to Jesus, that's where the sword comes. It will divide loyalties. And Jesus came precisely to do that so that he could call out a response in everybody and find out who will respond. Now notice, and I think this is maybe should be encouraging to us, Jesus is not triumphalistic about how the gospel will be received. He's not, I wouldn't say he's not optimistic, but he knows opposition is going to come. He knows by and large many people will not respond, and he doesn't want us to get discouraged when that happens. He knows that Christianity will, through most of its history, be a kind of rugged minority movement, and that not many people will sign on for this movement. It's almost as if he's saying, this is the way I plan it to go, because I'm not bringing a message that flatters people's versions of themselves or flatters people's projects for preserving their own lives the way they see fit. Jesus, we might say, is satisfied with minimal reception. And so I think at the very least, we shouldn't be discouraged by minimal reception. This sword, I think this sort of symbolic sword comes up repeatedly. I think of in Hebrews 4 when it says that the word of God is a sword dividing our hearts. I think of even all the way back to Genesis, the way in which violence and violent response, or violence separates people based on their responses to God, the jealousy of Joseph's brothers against him. I think that division comes all the time. I think that here at the end, Jesus says, don't save your life. If you save your life, you'll lose it. I might paraphrase that in saying that the person who labors to make their life secure according to their own sense of security and according to their own lights is going to lose it. They're going to lose. It's going to be lost like a house of cards. But those who entrust Jesus with securing their life and securing their person, they're going to find much more than they ever hoped for or bargained for. I think the sword, again, comes in part because it's about our response to him. Will you respond in trusting loyalty to Jesus, or will you not? Well, based on that response, there will come a division. And I think in part that division is necessary because, as it says in Hebrews, the Lord wants to separate us from patterns of emotional life and relating that are not of his kingdom. And he wants to teach us new patterns that have to do with forgiving our enemies and praying for those who persecute us. So that sword must sort of separate us in order for us to be changed and transformed. But essentially, Jesus is saying to these immediate disciples, be ready, be prepared for your loyalty to me, to mean your family members might turn you in to be killed. And then he transitions to talk about, if you receive me, you receive the one who sent me. And if people receive you, they receive me, and therefore the one who sent me. There is this continuity. The Father sends Jesus, and whoever receives Jesus receives the Father. And likewise, whoever receives the apostles and their teaching receives Jesus and the Father. Essentially, Jesus is saying, if someone shows deliberate hospitality to you because you're my disciple, because you're on mission for me, they will be rewarded. It is as if they are receiving me. This is a really remarkably generous statement. On the one hand, Jesus has said that the disciples might be killed, but he does say they will be rewarded greatly. And on the other hand, he says, people who give you just a cup of cold water, who show you the slightest bit of hospitality because of your mission, they're going to receive a reward. That's an amazing generosity on Jesus' part. It all reminds me of the parable in which Jesus says there's a guy who goes out and hires at 8 a.m. and at noon and at 3 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. And at the end of the day, everybody gets paid the same. It's his gracious generosity to hire people, but it's also his prerogative, how he rewards. But I think Jesus wants to underline here that there's a great reward to those who simply, because someone is coming in the name of Christ in some way, they're in his work, they're in his way, showing hospitality to them is as if it's showing hospitality to God the Father himself. We're far too stingy in our senses of how God will reward, and Jesus is far more generous. Finally, I just noticed that, or note in this section that there's a lot of notions of God that he is this sort of remote, aloof deity up there just looking down on the world and seeing what goes on. But this whole section, and of course the Gospels themselves, show God as a sender. He's one who's constantly sent people. He's sent the prophets. He sent his angels. Finally, here, he sends his Son. And when his Son returns to his presence after his death and resurrection, he sends the Spirit. He sends the apostles. He sends us. There is this great sense through all of the scriptures, but especially here, that God is a sender and we are a part of this sending movement. And there should be great excitement on our part in being involved in this work. And again, our involvement may be death on the cross. Our involvement might be showing hospitality and support to others in Jesus' name. Finally, I think that this has application for our meetings together. You know, Jesus says, if you give somebody a cup of cold water because they're one of my small disciples, you will receive a reward. Well, think about our gatherings with the people of God. We gather and receive one another in Jesus' name. We, in fact, see one another as the body of Christ. We discern that Christ hides in all of our brothers and sisters. And so there's this great joy that should attend our gatherings, because it's not just gathering with one another to hear some messages, but it's actually receiving the Father and the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit as that life is manifest in one another. So may we let him wield this sword on us that cuts away our lives as we would like to construct them. May we receive the life that comes from being his disciple and in the yoke with him, regardless of whatever we suffer as a consequence. And may we learn to receive those who are sent and to be sent ourselves in the name of Jesus. Amen.